From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, December 18th, 2018. And on this day, Portland will step away from waterfront development for a few months after a threat to close it down for a lot longer. And Congresswoman Shelley Pingree vows to protect the Affordable Care Act. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, presenting Gardens Aglow, where visitors will see the gardens in a whole new light, now through December 31st. MaineGardens.org.
First District Congresswoman Shelley Pingree is vowing to protect the Affordable Care Act when she returns to Congress in January. At a press conference in Portland today, Pingree and supporters of the federal health law denounced the recent court ruling in Texas that found the ACA unconstitutional. Patty White has more.
When Congress reconvened here next year, Representative Pingree says that she and her colleagues in the Democratic majority will pass a resolution that will allow the House to defend the Affordable Care Act during the appeals process. Pingree also expects lawmakers to submit bills to protect what she calls important pillars of health care established by the ACA.
Protecting people with pre-existing conditions, keeping your kids on your plan till you're 26, Medicaid expansion, working to close the Medicare Part D donut hole for seniors.
Pingree spoke at a press conference at Portland restaurant Little Giant. Owner Brianna Volk says being able to buy insurance from the ACA marketplace gave her and her husband the security they needed to start their business, which includes a bar at another location and employs about 50 people.
That is what healthcare security is about, allowing people the ability to work towards their goals, invest in the community, and care for their family without the worry of healthcare costs that could skyrocket unexpectedly.
Volk and other advocates of the ACA at the press conference criticized Republican Senator Susan Collins for voting for the tax bill last year that repealed the ACA's tax penalty for the individual mandate. That repeal was the basis for the lawsuit challenging the ACA, brought by 18 Republican state attorneys general and two governors, including Paula Page. The U.S. Supreme Court previously upheld the ACA because of the tax. But on Friday, a U.S. District Court judge in Texas ruled that the loss of the tax renders the law unconstitutional.
This lawsuit is absurd. It's reckless. Most people think it will be overturned.
Pingree says Republicans will have opportunities to, quote, redeem bad votes, after promising during the midterm elections that they would protect people with pre-existing conditions.
This is a wake-up call to Republicans generally, whether in the House or the Senate, and if they're going to stand by their promise to make sure that everyone has access to affordable health care, we're going to have to take back some of the things that they voted for in the past, and we're going to give them a lot of good opportunities to vote for good things in the future.
The Affordable Care Act remains in effect for now, but appeals in the case could eventually land the federal law before the Supreme Court once more. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
The Maine Gun Safety Coalition says the Trump administration's move to ban bump fire stocks is a positive to celebrate. Coalition Executive Director Jeff Bickford says that's because the ban takes the form of an amendment to the Department of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms regulations rather than a new law.
Because this is an agency opinion, it's not as ironclad as a law passed by Congress, and so it's subject to challenge, and there may be an injunction immediately.
In fact, the Gun Owners of America has already said it plans to file a legal challenge. Bickford says the best course would be for Congress to pass a law banning bump stocks, which can make a semi-automatic weapon fire rapidly like a machine gun. The new rules are scheduled to go into effect in late March. An anonymous Justice Department official told the Associated Press that owners of bump stocks will then be required to either surrender them to the ATF or destroy them. An email for comment to the NRA's Maine field representative was not immediately returned. Under the threat of a citizen referendum that could shut down non-marine-related development on Portland's waterfront for decades, the City Council has unanimously approved a six-month moratorium on development in that zone. It also approved creation of a task force to try to solve traffic congestion and other access issues that led fishermen to seek the referendum in the first place. Fred Bever has our story.
City Manager John Jennings proposed the moratorium last week. That was after it became clear that organizers of the potentially divisive referendum were likely to get the signatures needed to put it to a citywide vote. Several wharf and waterfront property owners turned out for last night's council meeting to support the pause. Those included Phineas Sprague, a longtime force in waterfront real estate who was working to expand his shipyard on the city's western waterfront. Sprague says it's important to recognize the needs of fishermen.
And unfortunately, a lot of the people that they're complaining to and asking really don't understand boats, and they don't understand what it's like to find someone in your parking place next to your boat where you wanted to take the lobster traps off and you wanted to get to the boat. So there's a serious logistical problem that's because of the success of Portland.
Some other seafaring business people said that while the moratorium was necessary to allow some time to reach a consensus, it's important to weigh how expensive it is to maintain pier infrastructure and that high-priced rents from offices or storefronts can subsidize berths for fishermen.
The larger fishing boats on a wharf pay $500 a month.
Parker Poole runs a marine towing company, and he berths at Union Wharf, which his family also owns. Fishing boats, he says,
have decent berthing. They have a very good pier that's strong. It's safe. There's nothing wrong with it. They all have a little bit of storage up on top. They all have parking for one. A lot of guys have two vehicles down there. They have a really good thing going for $500. I mean, they're subsidized and nobody sees that. I mean, I'm subsidized. My berth is directly subsidized by the office space that we have worked so hard to get.
Members of the fishermen's group say they too support the moratorium, and they are hopeful that a stakeholder task force to be appointed by City Manager John Jennings could move quickly on solutions. Bill Coppersmith, a Portland-based lobsterman, says while the number of commercial boats based there has dropped in recent years, the city should be prepared for more in the coming years.
New fishermen are coming in. There's a waiting list of lobstermen coming in. And they're in Zone F, and they're coming to Portland. And you've also got a tremendous amount of haddock out there and other groundfish that they haven't tapped into yet. And when they do, your groundfish boats are going to be coming to Portland, too.
The new task force could convene as early as next week, and City Manager Jennings already has a list of potential actions, including city tax breaks, that could be used to better secure the city's marine economy. Fishermen say they are hopeful the effort can avert conflict among various waterfront interests, but they also say they will continue to gather signatures for a potential referendum in case the city fails to act. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, December 18th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.